drinking town with a football problem. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
Amy here.
Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I am at CFL Hottieball.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. As always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Coming up on this week's show, going to review that Riders game against the Stamps. It was a game for the Stamps because they were just toying with us the entire time.
It was the bye week until halftime, right?
Something like that. That's what it looked like on TV anyway. But we're going to review that Riders game, 27-10 loss. Riders dropping their record to 1-3. We're going to preview the Riders versus Argos this upcoming Saturday, July 29th at 4:30 p.m. Engaging with the enemy. We have the return of the Hottie Bowl. And you're going to have two of them this week?
Two. Dramatic choices this week.
Dramatic. Wow. Well, stay tuned for that. We're going to have a rant, and that's going to stem from the Rider game as well. And we'll have our Piffles picks. So let's get right down to it. We have a big announcement to make. Steve, I'll let you take this.
So some big news to lead off the show. Not too long ago, we had receiver Bakari Grant on the show. He was mentioning donating toys for kids after every touchdown. Recently, he made a donation to Hope's Home in Regina, and we decided we wanted to do something to give back as well. So in conjunction with Hope's Home, we are putting on the first ever Piffles Bowl. We're going to have a few touch football games at Mosaic Stadium, some drinks to follow at the Canadian Brew House. It's going to take place on Friday, August 18th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at New Mosaic Stadium. For information on that, please email us at pifflesbowl@gmail.com. That's PIFFLESBOWL at gmail.com. Entry fee is going to be $50. It's going to get you an event t-shirt, a drink at the brew house, 2 hours of football. We're going to have some silent auction items. We just picked up a autographed football from the 2017 Rider team. Some other items in there as well. So stay tuned for that.
And not only that, proceeds of this are going to Hope's Home here in Regina. Reserve your spot. There's not many spots open to this, so make sure you get to us right away on that. You'll also get a tax receipt, as that $50 includes the donation as well. So if you need a tax receipt, let us know, and we'll definitely get that for you. But it's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to this. This will be a lot of fun.
It's always nice to get on that field and run around, but to do it for a good cause, I agree. I'm really excited for it.
So find more at piffelspodcast.com on that, on Twitter at PifflesPod, and Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. You'll find all the information there. So join us and we'll have a great time and raise some money for Hope's Home in Regina. It'd be great. Okay, well, let's get to that game. That was this past Saturday, Riders at Calgary, 27-10. The score, I think.
Challenge.
Right as we get into it.
Challenge.
I challenge your challenge.
It's good.
That's what the game was. That's how the game started. It was absolutely brutal. The score, 27-10, flattered the Riders. That game was not as close as a 17-point game. And the main story out of that game were the challenges. The start of the game, there was three challenges on the opening drive. The opening drive took, 6 minutes off the game clock? 4 minutes, something like that? It took
16 minutes
of real time to get that done.
How much time?
Is about four and a half minutes off the clock, and it took 16 minutes of actual time.
So it took 4 minutes to get a minute off the clock.
Dang.
In the CFL, that clock continuously counts.
Way to go, guys.
The opening of that game was about as exciting as the opening of this segment to listen to. that's what it felt like. Just nothing was, there was no flow to it. It was just challenge, 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 and it was hard to watch.
The first six plays, there was a challenge for every two plays, and that's actually kind of flattering because there were two challenges on one play.
And both of them were correct.
Yeah, why didn't they just look at the play once and say, oh, well, this happened, but then this happened.
It was an incomplete pass, but there was pass interference
because
whatever it was.
Incomplete pass is something where you can actually review the whole play. It's not like the illegal contact or interference where you have to, eye in on that one part of the play. So how they took an extra couple of minutes to review the second part,
They're supposed to eye in on one part of the play, but they didn't even do that for this game. Because they called defensive pass interference on one challenge and ended up getting illegal contact.
Yeah, I haven't been that annoyed coming out of a football game or coming out of the first minute of a football game. And
to start a game like that, too, like that's you want the game to be exciting right off the bat and keep your audience. And I'm sure a lot of people tuned out because they were just like, oh, here we go again. These refs are going to ruin the game. And to start it off, they did. It was absolutely brutal. And no fault of Chris Jones and Dave Dickinson for throwing the flags, because that's all within their means.
Some fault to Dave Dickinson, but I'll get to that in a minute.
All right. But really, though, it was a bad way to start a game. It was a joke. It showed everything that's wrong with the CFL right now.
It took what was arguably the most heated rivalry for that week and just cooled it right off without anything exciting happening. Like, people were going in, tuned in, excited for this game. People wanted to see if the Riders were real, if the Stampeders were going to come back from their loss to Montreal. And it was a decent week of football leading up to that, but all you heard after that game was the CFL rulebook.
And it really did take away from the game, which is kind of good because the Riders sucked pretty much that, except for one drive that entire game. So, we'll, like you said, we'll talk a little bit more about challenges in a little bit here. Like I said, this score flattered the Riders. Kevin Glenn got his 50,000 yards passing. Did anyone on this team look good?
The offense for one drive? Maybe the second half offensive line? Even that's debatable. They didn't give up any sacks in the second half, but they still didn't seem all that up to par. Nothing really flattered the team in this one.
I think the second half was maybe a little bit of us putting the foot down a little bit, but a lot of it was Calgary taking their foot off. I can't really think of anyone that looked particularly good.
I have absolutely nobody in that slot. I don't think anybody really looked good at all. There were players who didn't suck, but that doesn't mean they looked good.
And you know what? That actually gives me a little bit of hope for the season. We had a game against one of the top teams in the league where nobody on our team looked good, and we were arguably in it at the end of the third quarter.
Well, once they made it a 7-point game there, it was, I mean, there was hope, right? And it was like, maybe we can steal one here if we get another turnover or whatever the case is. That obviously didn't happen because the team couldn't stop Jerome Messam, and them just being able to run the ball down our throats the entire game, that was pretty much the game right there. We knew Messam was going to get a large load of work just because he was out of the game last week after being ejected in Montreal, so you knew they were going to get him involved. And I thought Calgary offensively would look a little bit better than they did. I'm glad they didn't, because starting off the game, the Riders actually looked fairly decent on defense. Getting an interception, didn't really get much pressure on Bo Levi Mitchell, didn't really hit him, but they didn't look bad.
On a game where the offense couldn't move the ball to save their lives, you got to credit the defense a little bit for only giving up 27 points, outside of their inability to stop the run, of course. I mean, we only gave up 27, and it could, and
I guess.
What was time of possession in that game? It was something like 35-25, 34-26.
And probably about 20 minutes of those that the Riders had were in the second half. Because they did not have the ball in the first half at all.
Three first downs.
Yeah, it was an embarrassing offensive output by the team. And Charleston Hughes absolutely dominated that first half. And that's going to lead us in here. Who looked bad? It's got to be said, Derek Dennis. And he admitted to that on social media that he had a terrible game and owned up to it. And for whatever reason, Rider fans are calling for him to be cut for some stupid...
Oh.
And yeah.
And he noticed...
And this guy, this Derek Dennis, friend of the show, is the league's reigning most outstanding offensive lineman. He had one bad game. If you cut a player for every bad game they had, you'd have no players on your team, because every player once in their life has had a bad game. That's the way it is, and then you just move on. And Charleston Hughes, that was his first game back from injury. You know, him going up against his former teammate Derek Dennis, who broke his hand in practice, he wanted to show that he's better than Derek Dennis, and he did that last week.
When you're talking about having a bad game against one of the best defensive ends in the league, that's no reason to cut a guy. And honestly, Rider fans as a whole need to chill out. And he said it himself after the game. He said, we're four games into a season. There's a lot of football left. Calm down, guys. Like, when you got players having to comment on things that the fans are saying, that's not a good look.
the whole offensive line as a unit looked bad. Derek Dennis, as well as Thaddeus Coleman, tackles looked particularly bad because of those defensive ends. But the whole unit was terrible.
Yeah, the guards couldn't handle the stunts that Calgary ran all game long. That's, for the most part, pretty much all they did was run stunts in the middle. And they got a ton of pressure on Kevin Glenn. And Glenn, it's amazing that he lasted that entire game because he was taking hits every play. So anyway, Derek Dennis is my nominee for who looked bad.
Sam Williams. I'm honestly surprised he made the flight back to Regina. It was kind of funny in our conversation while we were watching the game. I can't remember what was said, but basically he was playing like garbage, and the very next play, within seconds, he gets a bobble interception, lands in his hands.
Yeah, that was me. I said he's looking absolutely terrible right now, and then got an interception, which it got tipped right to him, so if you can't catch that, then then there's a problem. But
he might be thinking Enoch Mambo right now.
It might be the only reason he still has a job is that extra interception on the stat sheet, but he was trailing all night. It didn't matter who he was covering, but the one play that stood out to me the most was the deep pass to Mark Ray McDaniel. McDaniel bobbled it for a few seconds, fell over, and the next image you see is Sam Williams running by him, making no effort to touch him. That reminded me way too much of Junior Mertal a couple of years back.
And those plays really bug me. The guy's on the ground. Just touch him.
Yep.
Even if you don't think he has the ball, just touch him.
Simple.
Put your hand on his shoulder, put your hand on his back, whatever. Just get him down.
And part of me wonders if that wasn't an American player new to the CFL, not knowing the rule that he's not down the moment he hits the ground like that. But
a lot of them, you'd have to think that the American players would know the difference between college rules and the NFL, because that's the rule in college. Once the player's down, he's down, whether he's touched or not. But in the NFL, you can still get up. So you'd think that he would know at least, okay, in the pros, you still got to tackle the guy.
Yeah. There's no excuse for it.
No.
If it is because he doesn't know the rules, to me, that might make it worse.
I think moving on from that, my nominee for who looked bad is actually Kevin Glenn. A little bit of that blame can go to the offensive line, but he could not get the ball away in that first half. He seemed to have communication issues with his offensive line. He moved the pocket without the offensive line moving the pocket with him. He just didn't look like himself.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the offensive play calling from Steve McAdoo as well. The whole year, what we've seen so far is this dink and dunk offense with a couple long shots. And for whatever reason, the first half, we did not play that little dink and dunk offense, which has worked so well for us. We were looking for a deep play, which we had no time to set up because Charleston Hughes was absolutely wrecking that game. So that's got to be on McAdoo to realize right off the bat, okay, get the ball out of your hand quick. Now, were the plays called? Possibly. We'll never know that, what was called. But at the same time, Kevin Glenn, a lot of pump fakes and everything in there too. And he had when he did have time, he didn't throw the ball away.
I just got to say, sorry, you said Kevin Glenn is your pick. And this goes back to the people wanting Derek Dennis cut. You're talking about a future CFL Hall of Famer having a bad game. And Derek Dennis has a bad game and people want him cut. That's proof. It doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have bad games from time to time.
Now you bring up a future Hall of Famer, and I know that's got a lot of people riled up on Twitter as well. Is Kevin Glenn a Hall of Famer? The guy's now passed for 50,000 yards. He's one of only six quarterbacks to do so.
Challenge. Seven.
Is it seven? Upon further review.
Yes.
But it's not like a lot of quarterbacks have hit that milestone. Granted, he's never won a Grey Cup ring, and that's what quarterbacks are elevated on, is have they won championships. Well, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, but yet he's in the Hall of Fame because of his stats. You don't get those stats by being a bad quarterback. Like, yes, longevity does have something to do with that, but also being a good quarterback gives you longevity.
You know what? You don't have a 17-year career if you're not a good QB. That's the end of it right there for me. But you don't also have... If you're not good, you're not going to throw multiple 5,000-yard seasons. You're not going to be top seven or eight in all-time passing touchdowns. I mean, he's shown time and time again when he gets his chance that he is an upper-level quarterback. Yeah, he's never won the Grey Cup. Either is Milt Stegall. Grey Cups are a team thing. As a quarterback, passing yards are a pretty big stat.
Now, was he the best at his position? Which you'd have to think Hall of Fame player, like you're not just a standard player or an average player. You're one of the best at your position. Was he ever the best? you know, 2007, 2011.
Like, or sorry, 2010.
So there's a couple of years where he was arguably the best quarterback in the league, but then he became a backup, and he just seemed to be the quarterback that nobody wanted, but everybody wanted. Good insurance policy. Well, still, you don't get 50,000 yards passing by being a bad quarterback.
Whether or not he was the undisputed number one at any point in his career, and he was for many of his seasons, regardless of what some people say. You said it best. He's had 50,000 yards in his entire career. That's over 17 years. That's still 3,000 plus per year. Yes, 3,000 isn't a great number, but how many of those years was he the 18-game number one starter?
Imagine if he was a starter his entire career. He'd probably be up where Anthony Calvillo is in terms of passing yards.
Yeah, he's a bum. He had a bad game. Cut him.
Absolutely a Hall of Famer. Definitely not first ballot, but third to fifth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we'll all be coming back in 10 years and retweeting a few people going, told you.
I think Twitter will be a thing then?
Yeah, probably not.
MySpace will come back.
We can all hope. Okay, moving on. We talked a little bit earlier about the challenges. That's going to lead us into this week's rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
It's been a little while since there's been something that's truly riled me up to the effect that my rant today has. I have basically had it up to here with challenges in the CFL.
Challenge.
You're not wrong. I agree. From fishing expeditions to illegal contact, I've almost had enough of the replay challenges to begin with. They slow down the game. They take excitement right out of the play. It's made the CFL less fun to watch. And for a league where we pride ourselves on it being the most exciting game out there, these challenges are absolutely ruining it. For instance, in Saturday's battle between the Riders and Stamps on Saturday night, we had a great division rivalry with great storylines and a lot of excitement leading up to that game. Six plays in, there's three challenges, 16 minutes of actual clock to play 4.5 to 5 minutes of football, and ending in a field goal for the Stamps. Right away, the storyline changed from rivalry and fun to challenge, from excitement to the CFL Command Center. And that is what the league does not need. Today, the league mentioned that the most discussed game on social media this past week was Calgary-Saskatchewan. How much of that was positive? How much of that was about the poor excuse for a challenge system that seemed to rear its ugly head in that game? Now, getting away from the game itself for a minute, I want to talk about the actual challenge system. The idea that silly things like illegal contact on a receiver far away from the play as a 10-yard penalty is bad enough. Then add in that it's a challengeable offense, and you have something far more laughable. What we've been seeing for the last year and a half is coaches designing plays on 2nd and 10 that have a receiver running directly into a defensive back 6, 7, 8 yards down the field, initiating contact, and drawing a challenge flag. Chris Jones himself today said that he has to change his offensive game plan to start calling plays like this, where you are telling your offense to run into a defensive back, because it's a guaranteed pair of first downs every game if you want to use it. Now, I love the idea behind replay challenges. We all want to see the calls made right, but I want to see them made right on the field, which is why I like it for things like catches, fumbles, touchdowns. You know, legitimate football plays. I think it's time we look at removing penalties from the list of challengeable offenses. Or, if not that, look at penalizing coaches and teams more harshly when they go fishing and the hook comes up empty. Twice during Saturday's game, the Riders held Calgary on a 2nd and 10 only to see a flag thrown for illegal contact. Both times, contact was initiated by the receiver, and both times the challenge was a success. And the Stamps were awarded a first down. First off, the Command Center themselves, kudos, you got the calls right. This isn't about you. But the rules as they stand ended up leading to 10 points for Calgary that I don't feel like they deserved. They got called back on plays that shouldn't have been called back. And that changed the outcome and the momentum of what should have been an exciting football game. All because of a ridiculous rule and a terrible challenge system that needs to be updated and changed. CFL fans across the nation don't like this rule. We want the fun, fast, exciting CFL that we all love. Please, for the love of God, stop dragging it down with horrible fishing trips and challenges that shouldn't be.
Good rant. This is something Randy Ambrosi, the new commissioner, needs to look at the Monday after Grey Cup. I still say it's a little too late to change everything in the middle of the season. I know they did a change last year, but this is something that is absolutely ridiculous. And I know the NFL has been talking about having challenges for pass interference. I sure hope they watched somebody but the NFL watched that game, because if they saw that, there's no way they want their product looking like that, because that was embarrassing.
If they've been watching the CFL for the last year and a half, there's no way they allow interference and contact to be reviewed. It's just embarrassing.
You have to have challenge systems in place, like you said, for fumbles, interceptions, whether it was a catch, something definitive, something that you can say 100% with confidence, yes, that is the call. You can't do that with pass interference.
You can't do that with penalties as a whole.
Yeah, you should not be able to challenge penalties, and that's, to me, that's the number one issue in the CFL right now, and that's ruining the consistency of the reffing, which in turn is ruining the game itself. Just watching it on TV, sometimes it's just absolutely unbearable. The first minute and a half of this game, it was three challenges.
If the ref on the field, whose only job is to watch those type of contact plays, doesn't think it's egregious enough to make the call on the field,
then it's no call.
It's no call and you move on. The fact that offenses are starting to change how they call the play because this challenge system is just wrong, it hurts my head.
Now, refs are going to make mistakes, and that's perfectly fine. It keeps that human aspect of the game in there, because otherwise you're just turning this game into being officiated and done by robots. So at that point, you might as well just have players being robots, because that's exactly what this is going to turn into.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, kind of picturing base wars for football now.
I don't think robots are as cute, though, so I have a problem with it.
That's fair.
Have you never seen Johnny Five or Wally? They look pretty cute.
I don't know what those things are.
Wall-E? Wally?
Yeah, not like Buono.
I've never seen it.
What?
I'm 100% confident you've seen it.
Because we watched
it on a flight once. Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously it was really good.
Apparently.
Oh, the movie itself is terrible.
Oh. He's just a little guy.
But if he had a little puppy robot, he'd make it onto the Hottie Bowl?
Listen, puppies win everything.
Yes, that's
true. You could punch me in the face and then give me a puppy and I'd probably like you.
So that's why the Stampeders are winning. They keep having puppies at practice.
Yeah. Every time they do and we talk about it, hey, Riders, get on this. Let's get the puppies on the field and get them out there.
Here's my rant. I think the puppy predictor in Calgary is rigged. I don't think they put food in the other bowl.
That's probably true.
Cheaters.
At least Jimmy Fallon, when he does it, has food in both bowls. Anyway, don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Give us a follow on Twitter, @PifflesPod. Instagram, we're at PifflesPod. And check out PifflesPodcast.com for more.
Coming up next, we take a look at the Riders' next game this upcoming Saturday against Toronto here at Mosaic Stadium. Engaging with the enemy, and I have two entrants into the Hottie Bowl.
Piffles Podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast.
Now time for the Hottie Bowl.
Okay, two entrants this week, blue or green ink, pick one.
Green, always green.
Always green, all right. Here we go, this week, pick number one was born January 25th, 1985 in Kennewick, Washington, maybe that's how you say it? I'm not sure. I'm squeaking on the desk here.
It's okay.
Sounds like I'm tooting.
Please keep that.
You can if you want. Anyway, he played college football at Central Washington. He signed with the BC Lions in 2010 as a member of their practice roster. He was activated in August of the same year and spent the remainder of the year as a third stringer. His first pro start was not until October 19th, 2012 against the Edmonton Eskimos, leading the Lions to a victory over Edmonton. In a happy turn of events, he was then traded to the Edmonton Eskimos in 2013. Oh, you're nodding your head. You know who it is?
I know who it is.
You know who it is? Everybody knows who it is. I'm going to keep reading my list. So he was traded to the Edmonton Eskimos in 2013. In 2015, he won the Grey Cup with the Edmonton Eskimos. For that game, he won the Grey Cup MVP award after completing 21 of 35 pass attempts for 269 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And I'm sure that award fails in comparison to being picked as the CFL Hottie Bowl quarterback. Already I picked a quarterback. He is 6 feet 3 inches, 230 pounds. Quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos. Number 13, Mike Riley.
Mike Riley Sansbeard?
And then I just wrote here, welcome to the CFL Hottie Bowl, and thank you, sir, for shaving your face this year.
Does that mean Hugh O'Neill has a chance now?
No. Well, he doesn't have a beard, but oh my God, that thing's disgusting.
Can we just talk about how majestic Hugh O'Neill's beard is?
No.
Was.
Well, yeah,
nope.
Was.
Nope.
Was.
Nope.
Sorry to take away from Mike Riley there. Mike Riley, welcome to the Hottie Bowl.
Yeah. He'll look and fly this year, I gotta say.
I heard
fly for a white guy.
I heard BC and I was thinking Jennings until he said 2012.
And Jennings a backup again to the Hottie Bowl because you were looking at him pretty hard last year.
I know.
He's got lots of time in his career.
And I'm sad to see Zach Kolaros go.
So are Ticats fans.
Yeah. Yep. Mike Riley.
Well, welcome to Hottie Bowl, Mike Riley. And because you weren't here last week and I got in trouble for announcing
I don't want to talk Dalton. About those shenanigans that went on last week.
It was a great pick. Great pick.
Dalton from Rouge Radio.
No.
Our friends
sorry,
of our
you're being
podcast
dethroned,
family.
Sir.
He still makes it as the water boy.
Nope.
The team needs to be hydrated and Dalton is there for you.
Him and as George.
Unofficial.
There's nothing sexier than a working man.
You say unofficial, but I'm pretty sure I heard him being nominated during the Hottie Bowl segment.
If last week proved anything, it's that we need parental guidance.
He needs adult supervision in this room. My God, no. Okay, whatever. He can pretend that he is in the Hottie Bowl.
But you have a second entrant this week.
Yes. Do you want to know who really is in the Hottie Bowl?
I do.
Okay. All right, this week, number 2. He was born October 23rd, 1993.
Whoa, Jesus.
So he is 9 years, 11 months, and like 30 days younger than me.
Does that fit in the half your age plus 7 thing?
I don't know.
You should probably look into that.
In Niagara Falls, Ontario... In 2015, he was named the President's Trophy winner as the nation's top CIS defensive player after leading the nation with 60 tackles. Over his 5 years at Guelph, he accumulated 150 solo tackles. He had 9 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 4 interceptions.
Is this guy taking your breath away?
I guess so. I guess so. He was the first Guelph player to win the Top Defensive Player Award since Mike O'Shea did it in 1992, the year before he was born. According to his Instagram account, he is a pizza enthusiast, a dog lover, and strangely enough, we both have the same hate for the bottom of bananas.
Weird.
Weird. I know, right? The things you find out at 2 in the morning when you're... looking up hot guys. He has a matching tattoo with his mom that says no excuses. He is 6'1" tall, 227 pounds, fullback for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Number 32, John Rush.
I'm a big fan of John Rush just because of his Twitter account saying step one, get your blue check mark. Get verified.
Get a check
mark. Step two.
Use it to get puppy pictures.
Use it to get dog pictures. And everybody started sending him dog pictures.
I sent him every dog picture in my phone. He liked it. Can we talk about his hair, though?
Sure.
It's beautiful.
Great conversation.
That's all. No, really, though, about his hair. He, at the end of this year, is cutting it to raise money for cancer.
Oh, that's good.
Because when he was younger, his mom had breast cancer, and she survived. She is a breast cancer winner, fighter.
Survivor,
whatever you want to call it. But he has a GoFundMe account linked on his Instagram page. He's trying to raise $10,000 for cancer research.
Good for him.
I always like when athletes use their status and on social media for good cause.
Absolutely.
Good on him.
But I'm going to be so sad when he cuts it. It's so beautiful.
It'll grow back. Maybe by the time he grows back, he'll be old enough.
I said that too.
If it makes you feel any worse, Alex Singleton is also doing something similar with his hair.
Yeah, they just have pretty hair, those boys.
He still doesn't have the best hair on the Bombers, though.
Mullet.
I think they both should have a mullet together. Taylor Loeffler, is that who you're talking about?
Yep. I'm on board. Team mullet.
Worked for Yager.
That sounds like something Winnipeg would do.
Well, John Rush, welcome to the Hottie Bowl as this year's fullback.
Yep.
Well, we move on from the Hottie Bowl to this week's game preview. Let's take a look at the Ryder game against Toronto. This will be the Argos' second game out of their set of 3 and 11 days. So hopefully the Riders can capitalize on that. What are your guys' keys to the Riders getting back on the winning track?
Before we get into that, can I just say kudos for Argos fans for not bitching about the three games in 11 days like we heard nonstop from Red Blacks fans?
I think they've just accepted that they're going to get screwed on the schedule anyway.
Well, their acceptance is much fun, much more fun to watch.
So, keys to winning this game for the Riders.
I have an O-line that looks less like Swiss cheese.
They got to get to Ricky Ray early and often.
That's a lot easier said than done. But it's absolutely true.
They need to take advantage of Corey Chamberlain's aggressive defense and the injuries that came out of that game on Monday night against Ottawa. Bear Woods might play, but they took him out of the game for concussions, to look at a concussion. So if he can't go, then that's a big void in the middle. Victor Butler.
Sean Lemon was out. Cleon Lang got carted off, so he'll be out for a while.
So the Riders
Where have we seen it going up against a team with a potentially battered defensive line before? This seems like something we've heard recently.
It was literally a week ago.
There you go. Let's hope this time it actually turns out to be true so that the rest of our recording makes sense come game time. You're right. You have to take advantage of that if they've got players down.
But with a veteran offense going up against kind of a rookie-laden defense now, and with Corey Chamberlain's style of defense, you got to take advantage of that. Take your chance at some deep balls here with Daron Carter, Nemon Roosevelt. Get that dink and dunk going, let the players make the plays, but just take advantage of an aggressive defense. Now, Ferland, you mentioned Ricky Ray. He's probably the leader right now for most outstanding player so far in this young season. Can the Riders slow him down?
Ironically enough, Ricky Ray being probably one of the least mobile QBs in the league right now, slowing him down is kind of an odd thing to say, but We're going to need Jefferson to play his best game of the season if we want to slow him down that much.
And we need at least four people to cover SJ Green at all times, because he's having a bit of a year this year in Toronto.
Yeah, he's looked all right coming off that torn ACL.
Not bad for a trade for a sixth-round draft pick.
And I was mentioning Corey Chamberlain. This will be the first time the Riders see him since firing him back in 2015. Is that going to be a storyline?
Absolutely.
I'm surprised it isn't yet.
I agree. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about it. It's, you know, Toronto's defense has looked pretty good this year. They've had quite a few good games, and he's got them rolling. So it'll be interesting to see how he attacks the Riders, because you know he's going to want to get back at them for firing him.
I don't think anyone can argue he was ever a bad defensive coordinator. There's a reason he did get promoted to the head coach position with the Riders. Great defensive mind, and he's got them playing great ball in Toronto. I'm with you guys. I'm shocked that we haven't heard more of Chamberlain's return. I'm sure it's going to amp up in the days to come before they fly in.
Especially considering every week up until this one, there's been a storyline of, you know, so-and-so playing Saskatchewan again. How's that going to turn out? Surprised this isn't a bigger deal than it is yet.
You know what actually I'm surprised about is we haven't heard much about Chris Jones's comments about Argos fans.
Best comment ever.
Well, that's because he wasn't wrong. More fans show up to practice than Argos games. Monday's game, notwithstanding, obviously, because there was a pretty decent crowd of almost 16,000 people at BMO on a Monday night with the Jays in town as well, too. So I thought that was a pretty good crowd going for honoring Doug Flutie and the 1997 Grey Cup winning team.
There were 16,000 people there, but what the hell was Jeannie Bouchard doing there?
Why Sorry, was that I a do. Story? I didn't click on it.
Good call. Just don't.
Was she just at the game?
She was just at the game.
Because she likes sports.
And she didn't get treated like royalty and wasn't put up in a sweet box. That's why it's a story, apparently.
I have to say, TSN analyst Marshall Ferguson had probably the greatest article I've seen in a while in his response to that. But anyways, that's a whole other story.
We can get to that on another time. I think it'll be a close game. Time to move on here. Let's get to Engaging with the Enemy. Now, this week on Engaging with the Enemy, the timing didn't work out for the Argos since they had that game on Monday night. So we're going to take you back a bit to CFL week here in Regina. We were able to talk to Bear Woods, SJ Green, and Jeff Fuller. First up, I'll let you hear from Jeff Fuller.
Jeff Fuller, what do you like outside of the football field?
Outside the football field, I like to hang out on the lake, get on jet skis, do stuff like that. I also like to sit at home and watch a lot of TV and chill and enjoy my downtime.
So what are you watching on Netflix right now?
I watch all the murder documentaries, every single one of those, all the cold cases. I'm watching Walking Dead right now. That's my main show.
So would you consider yourself a gamer?
No, not a huge gamer at all. But should I try those virtual reality goggles? I got motion sickness the other day. I can only hang on for about 15 minutes without getting sick.
If you had to pick a dessert between cake and cookies, which would it be?
Oh, chocolate chip cookies all day.
So if you could describe yourself or pick a superhero, which one would you be and why?
I'd probably have to go with Superman because he can fly.
What's the number one song on your playlist right now?
Ooh, probably a good drink with Quavo, 2 Chainz, and Gucci.
And what's also your guilty pleasure song that you have on your iPod?
My guilty pleasure? You know, I like Michael, but I guess that's not too bad of a guilty pleasure. Michael Jackson, I guess. I got Beat It on there and stuff like that.
Who is the best or the league's best trash talker?
The league's best trash talker? Probably me. I don't do too much talking, so I mean, I'm not the best at talking trash.
What are your expectations in Toronto?
Oh man, just to, you know, come out there and contribute to an already great organization, and you know, get to play under the offensive mastermind and Jim Pop and the Hall of Fame quarterback. So I'm excited.
So that was former Rider Jeff Fuller. Now is Toronto's number one receiver, SJ Green.
Outside of football, what would you say is your best skill?
I'd say cooking, maybe. I like to cook.
What's the SJ Green signature dish?
Anything on the grill. I like to do a seafood platter. I like to fry chicken, like fried fish. I feel like I can do anything, kind of, sort of, if I just put my mind to it. But what I do the most is barbecue, spaghetti, shrimp, pasta type things.
What is your favorite movie?
Friday. Classic, 1995.
Is there one particular song that when it comes onto the radio you can't help but sing along to?
There's a lot of those. There's a lot of little catchy songs, right? I can't think of one off the top of my head right now, but I know some out there.
What's the number one song on your playlist right now while you're working out?
Number one song? I won't say it's my workout song, but I can say the number one song I just keep putting on repeat is that the Collection song that Future just dropped on his Hendrix album. I like that one.
Do you have any songs that you're a little bit afraid to admit that are on your playlist?
I answered that question earlier, too. I'll be honest. What's that guy, Ed Sheeran? I don't know the name of the song, but I like it. But I say it, it's on my iPod.
What's one skill that you don't currently have that you wish you would outside of football?
Outside of football, I was going to say I wish I ran a 4.240. Outside of football? You know, I watch those shows where, you know, how those handy guys, they do that, like your do-it-yourself network where they build, they remodel this stuff in the house. I wish I could do that kind of stuff. I wish I was hands-on like that. I just don't have it, man. I try, but I don't have it.
You having dessert, cookies, or cake?
Dessert, cookies, or cake? Depends on what kind of cake, so I'm going to say cookies.
What is there one job in the world that you think you would just be the worst at?
being a president.
Sure, there's not one worse than you would be?
That's tough, man. I don't think I can get that one done. That's too much pressure. Too much.
So we've kind of had a fairly consensus pick across the board for the last couple of days. Who's the number one trash talker in the CFL?
Number one trash talker. I can give you like three of them. I think they're all kind of equal. I would say Odell Willis, Nick Lewis, and then Sean Lemon and the guy from Charleston Hughes. But like, they're kind of all tied for first. Those are some trash talking guys.
And final one for you here. Most important question of the day, cats or dogs?
Dogs, all day.
And finally, my personal favorite, Jonathan Bear Woods.
How many people call you Jonathan?
Nobody.
Not even mom?
A distant aunt at a reunion, maybe. I'm serious. It just wasn't ever used.
So how'd you get that nickname Bear?
The nickname Bear came when I was about a year and a half old. Story goes that my grandfather set me on a counter. Why he would sit me on a counter, I'm not sure, but he turned around. I was up in the pantry somewhere. She's like, he crawled, you know, he moves like a little bear. And then, man, it worked out. So that's how I got the name.
So if you could pick any cereal to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Although I've been crushing Captain Crunch berries this last week. Oh my goodness, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So do you have any unique or hidden talents that people might not know about you?
Hidden here would be my guitar skills and probably vocal ability, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be the hidden thing.
If you can go back in time to one era, where would you go?
Man, I got to go back. Although it's not a, wouldn't be a fun time, but to be in Philadelphia to create what we have in the U.S., our U.S. Constitution, to be a part of those debates where you're talking about God-given rights, a limited small government based on the people. Oh, man, that would be a beautiful thing to create a democratic republic and to be there with the founding fathers.
Outside of football, what is your favorite sport?
It'd be basketball, although I don't keep up with it anymore. It was by far my favorite sport in high school.
What are you currently watching on Netflix?
I have kids, bro. I don't watch Netflix. I watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse when we do watch TV.
If you could be a superhero, who would you be and why?
I got to go with Wolverine. Just because he's the tough guy to be able to heal. And honestly, can I pick Batman? Okay, but I know he's not a superhero. I got to go with Batman there because the human aspect of it, a vigilante. You know, the superhuman powers. I mean, anyone could pick Superman. Come on, I mean, obviously.
Everybody has
one. Exactly. See, that's a lame answer. It's just too easy. I like Batman because, you know, he bleeds my kind of blood.
Favorite CFL city to travel in?
Ottawa. Yeah, I like just the government buildings, the parliament, and being there, the historical presence. I like that.
Who's the best trash talker in the CFL?
The best trash talker? I honestly think Kyrie Sabare. You know, a lot of the trash talk is kind of fun and games. You know, Kai, he's a man child. When he trash talks, it's like, I'm coming for you and your family. So
he gets right to the point there.
Right to the point. Like, if you think that game clock is going to stop me from seeking you out, you're crazy.
If you could take one item to a deserted island, what would you take?
Why do I feel like this is a trick question?
Not a trick question.
Given the scenario that I'm going to survive, right? Like, I'm already surviving. Okay, that's what I mean. See, that's why I said it's a trick question. Okay, I would have to take my guitar. Yeah.
Your favorite cheat meal?
Slaw dogs. A slaw dog is just a hot dog. You can get sausage, whatever. And it's just a hot dog that you put coleslaw on top of. It's a slaw dog.
Nice and simple.
Nice and, man, that's me just in general. Nice and simple. Slaw dog. Yep.
So if you had the chance to travel anywhere in the world right now, where would you go?
I would have to say Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the place I was looking forward to coming to. It's a pretty good place.
Yeah, we didn't buy that either.
Sorry. And honestly, that joke felt kind of flat anyways, because we're here. I would say I want to go to Austin, Texas, man. Take my picture by Stevie Ray Vaughan's statue.
Live music then, right?
Live music, bro.
You're having dessert. You eating cake or cookies?
Cookies.
And fun one for you. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Without hesitation?
Dogs, for sure.
You can check out those interviews and more on our SoundCloud page. Just go to playlists, click on the CFL Week playlist. Chris Williams, Solomon Elamimian, many more players are there, so make sure you check those out.
Honestly, I could listen to the Bear Woods interview over and over again.
He was my favorite interview that entire week. We had a chance to interview 20 players.
And you meant Solomon Yellow M&M, right?
Yes, Yellow M&M. He said that was the best best thing he's ever been called from the sidelines. So Bear Woods was easily my favorite. I didn't know how he'd be, because you don't really see interviews with him, and he was fantastic.
He was just laid back, having a good time.
Check those out. If there's any other players you want us to try and talk to, let us know. We'll see what we can do and work it out and get them on the show. Well, let's keep the show going here. Let's get to this week's Coney Island Piffles player profile. I really want to know. Tell me who are you? All right, this week we're going to take a look at Cresdon Butler for the Riders, defensive back. If you haven't heard of him, that's because he just recently signed with the team not too long ago. He actually filled in for Casey Rogers, as Casey Rogers missed this last game against Calgary due to a hamstring injury. They put him on the 6-game list, and now he's mysteriously back practicing, so he's not 6-gamed anymore. But anyway, Cresdon Butler was born in Asheville, North Carolina, was drafted in 2010 by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 5th round. He was a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals, Washington Redskins, went back to the Arizona Cardinals, Buffalo Bills, San Diego Chargers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Detroit Lions, Seattle Seahawks, and once again to Detroit after that.
How many of those has asterisks beside them?
Is he basically the Kevin Glenn of the NFL?
He kind of is. And cool. Then he came up here joining the Saskatchewan Roughriders here in 2017. He was signed in training camp of this year and was just released after the second preseason game, but was then again signed to the Roughriders practice roster on June 25th.
Asterisks beside those mean that they were practice roster or...
Oh, yeah.
There's whatever squads.
Yeah, that's pretty much... you know what? No, there wasn't. There's only one beside the Riders.
the team that he actually plays for?
Cresdon played in 46 games in the NFL, so that's the equivalent of about 3 seasons. And now he's here, and hopefully he can make our defensive backs that much better. And didn't have a tackle or any stats in this game against Calgary, but that also means that he wasn't getting beat and having to go up and make tackles.
They were too busy beating Sam Williams.
Yeah, and running the ball up the guts. So Cresdon Butler is this week's Coney Island Piffles player profile. Now finally, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. Week 6, Montreal at Winnipeg, BC at Edmonton, Toronto at Saskatchewan, Hamilton at Calgary. Who wants to start?
I still have to draw through 2 more circles.
Nobody wants to start. I will start. Winnipeg over Montreal, Edmonton over BC, the Riders over Toronto, and I flip-flop on that because I'm kind of thinking Toronto wins, but I'm picking Saskatchewan, and Calgary over Hamilton.
Same.
All the home teams?
Winnipeg, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Calgary.
I'm going to counter you with Winnipeg.
Challenge.
Damn. All right, fine. I'm going back to Montreal. No. Winnipeg, BC, Saskatchewan, Calgary.
Well, since I don't want to be the same as Alex and Amy, and I was flip-flopping before the show, I'm going to go with Montreal, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Calgary.
I have a feeling your picks are going to be moderately successful.
You went against your circles.
Just the one circle. Winnipeg, Montreal, I was flip-flopping.
Circles don't mean final.
We can change our minds, Amy.
Nope. It's in ink. It's final.
What if you use pencil?
He used pen.
Okay.
I can see it right there.
Point taken. I guess it's final.
You got to go Winnipeg.
I'm going Montreal, damn it.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be on a bye week of sorts next week, so there's not going to be a full proper show. We're still going to have stuff on the website. We're still going to have some interviews for you to listen to. So make sure you stay tuned to PifflesPodcast.com for more on that. Search Piffles Pod on Instagram, SoundCloud, all that stuff will be there.
Or maybe we can live stream at the game in Edmonton.
We might have something when we'll be at the Edmonton game against Hamilton next Friday night. So we'll talk to our friends over at the Eskimo Empire podcast.
We could borrow their studio.
Yeah, we might make a trip down to the Turf District, see what happens, but we'll figure something out.
If you accidentally leave a Rider flag somewhere hidden, I would say go for it.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, well, Andrew at the Empire podcast did invite us over, so we'll have to take him off on that and maybe leave a little something for him. But in 2 weeks, we'll be back, and we'll have full recaps of the Rider game against BC, which is the week after. We might talk a little bit about this Toronto game coming up. We're going to preview the second home-and-home game against BC, which is Sunday, August 13th against BC.
That's going to be when Mr. Ambrosi is in town.
That's correct. We'll see if we have a rant in a couple weeks. We'll have another entrance into the Hottie Bowl, our Coney Island Piffles player profile, engaging with the enemy, and much more CFL talk. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I am at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram, search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. As always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. And also, don't forget, make sure you look for our Piffles Bowl. All the information on there. Sign up. Limited spots available. Send us a note and we'll get you in on the Piffles Bowl and we'll have a lot of fun. Go out for a drink after and make a great donation to Hope's Home here in Regina. Thanks for listening.
We're a drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.